the ways in which texts are read, are talked about, and how that talk changes. So by the time I found myself in the pulpit, I was not so intimidated by preaching about the text I knew that every rector of St. Luke's had preached on, every divinity school graduate had preached on, and everyone in the congregation had probably been present for at least one explication of. But I suspect that every one of you who is a reader has reread a book that had special meaning for you or had been a significant experience. Reading something a second or third time or hearing a message from Paul again is an experience of value. Would you turn down a concert because you've already heard Beethoven's Fifth Symphony? The most important things we hear and read over and over are not significant because we want to know how the story ends. We know how the story of Jesus' life on earth ends, and yet we are enriched and strengthened by the recovery of the information over and over. Or the things he said and did, how he lived. I recall one of the great teachers of ancient times, the Greek philosopher Heraclitus, who famously said, "You can't step in the same river twice." And so every preacher steps in anew. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament reading today, recounts the setting out explicitly of one who is to spread the word of God. The young man is reluctant, claiming that he's too young, too unprepared for such a task. But God assures Jeremiah that he'll be just fine at the job. The job has been set before him because God will be there and will put the words in his mouth. Every preacher is waiting for a similar message. But we can each see that conviction and sincerity often step forth in difficult situations, and that what we wish to share or to comment on will be understood. We've all had situations when we didn't know what to say. Some crucial, some insignificant, some troubling on some level. But any attempt to be forthright and honest can be of great help. Jeremiah teaches us, among other things, that acceptance and support can help us do what we have to do, what we want to do. The letter to the Hebrews today speaks of God as man and God as creator-ruler. The letter offers the view of the divine that is far beyond the comprehension of humans. It contrasts the idea of divine power of the universe in the Jewish scriptures as a blazing fire and darkness, then as a tempest, and then things so overwhelming that the hearers will beg that not another word be spoken. The old view of the divine is offered as something to be worshipped but feared. But the new lesson is of a God of love who is with us as the mediator of a new covenant. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, the basic message of our Savior. We seem to experience a whole culture and religion moving from obedience to love. In contrast to the letter to the Hebrews, which ends with these words, "For indeed our God is a consuming fire," the gospel today emphasizes the ultimate humanity of Jesus within the miraculous. Today's gospel is one I admire very much because Luke shows us a vivid episode in Jesus' ministry when his humanity is featured just as much as his divinity. By that I mean the practicality of his actions are in the forefront, and the rules of formal religion are removed in order for Jesus to help somebody. We justly praise Jesus as God, But we also have these stories of his overwhelming love in human terms. And one of the miracles of Christian belief is how often we can hold these concepts together. The good prophet who has come to help people and not just help them achieve salvation, but also to live in better circumstances as women and men. Well, I give thanks for these readings today. Each teaches me something. To go on with confidence, to focus on the love of God, to remember that our individual lives matter more often than rules, more than conventions, more than some of the rules fashioned for another culture and another time and translated through at least 5 languages. What I experienced at St. Mark's in Berkeley on a long ago Sunday morning was not a convincing scholarly explanation of a theological concept, but a group of ordinary people kneeling to pray, rising to sing, and sharing themselves in loving friendship. It worked for me.